thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to be in your company tonight. It's a very poignant week for me to, because there's a great friend of mine buried last Thursday from the Lough Parish called Billy Lehan. He was a great friend of mine and legendary figure, as I said, in the Lough Parish, and inspired one of my poems. I'm from my home place of the Lough, but Billy Lehan, my good friend, referred to it as Costa the Locker. Yeah, thank you. But it goes like this. They sit there and bide the day away, and from the locker are hoping for a spray. They drink gallons of porter, and from the locker are hoping for a cure. For 10 bob a man, a game of soccer was played, and a lot of young men ended up in the locker by Del Costa. That's right. This boy's all the commotion and legs nearly broken, handshakes were made, and the game was forgotten. Thank you. I'd like to sing some of especially in memory of my old good friend Billy. It's an old Bob Dylan classic song. It was actually the theme song for an anti-nuclear protest concert in New York City in 1979, where Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell and all the usual suspects were present, and classic song called I Shall Be Released. It's a song in the key of E. They say everything can be replaced. They say every distance is not near. But I swear I see everything. All the real and new would be near. I see my life come shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, anyway now, I shall be released. If every man must need protection, they say the man must fall, but I swear I see my reflection somewhere so high above the wall. I see my light come shining from the west sound to the east. Any day now, anyway now, I shall be released. Out there next to me in this lonely crowd is a man who swears he's not to blame. All day long, I hear him calling out. He's calling out that he's been framed. I see my light shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, anyway now, I shall be release. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, next up in the mic, Sonai.
Hi, folks. Nice short one, anyway. I was in England for St. Patrick's Day, and this is kind of just an emotional response I got from what I was doing there. March 16, London. We came, some of us dressed up, others thrust up, some conducting an installation, and maybe one instilled in the way of the clown, hoping to be carried along in the heave of a public's positive feedback. Warm in the early spring, late winter. But really what I felt was older, part of a longer chain, like the expats whose addresses inhabited the inside pockets of those who came after. The compassionate contact point amongst the London Irish, still a strength and a mercy. Thanks.
Mike, Patricia. Okay, these two poems are kind of various attempts in my life. I love poems, not very often though, but I hope. But I like my life. This one's called When. I would take you into these forsaken arms for what we call eternity. If you could but stay with staring from our cold world colleagues. For a small time, a small place, instead of pain, pervade some capability. Yet, most of all, the heat of our bodies welds our souls. If we could but triumph over the sight of each other and recall the same, the terror and embarrassment there is, that behold each other in any case, so it shall be, that we should refine, notwithstanding the challenge of our call for over here. Thank you. This one is called Email. I wish you were here. Terror and immorality now share the same house together. Next door, they'll see that it becomes no harm. I wish you were here. Even spirited, well watched, with a hidden aim in mind, hidden away even from ourselves. I feel antisocial, crippled, weak. My wish has been granted by the wrong time, when the minutes pass by with a wave of years. Books on the dressing table, I can't consult them, and they make it sound too easy. It has almost looked everywhere. I wish you were here. Terror and immorality, drop by on the way to see if I'm alright. Next door, there's no fear of them coming to any harm. I wish you were here, level-headed, sitting hard with boiling tea at the time. Thank you. Thanks very much, Patricia. Okay, next up is Helen Cameron. This is a poem inspired by Jean Paul Sartre, and I just applied his quote to my own life. We are alone without excuses, condemned to be free. Think within that golden frame, just an aesthetic receptacle for bygone youth. Soft faced, baby haired, blonde. Gathered, waiting for innocent escape through adulthood. It encloses pain of long ago. Will have to go. Family gone. That wall needs no memorabilia. for the purpose of enclosing confining life to a time and point where sadness and uncertainty cannot smile the other way around. It's making me frown. Knock it down. House scum. Smell those heavy classics. Speckled wood-like stained with cocktail dust, coffee, thyme and wine. Following, pulling me behind. Recognize fresh air's words next time. Stop dragging me back. Book's gone. Here's a collar of banknotes, lurking, luring plastic pin. Towards release link, providing purse power and materialistic chink. For societal integration in greenbacked nation. It's only causing me pain. Give it away. Bank account gone. Grow old with all the learning, a lesson to read, Die the education debt, literature, language, philosophy, life, needing to be equipped for CD distribution and rejection from intellect's lure, which cling to order and claw at hope of retirement plan. Don't call me, I'll call you. Job gone. Cry on soaked pillow, and yet another physical joy fizzles towards fiasco. Uncorking, unleashing, marking a freedom path to nowhere. Only a toy. Release the boy. Love gone. We are all alone without excuses. Condemned to be free. Thank you.
Go on the Sartre, because they have a short poem about Sartre, Existential Café, and God they did. Essence before existence, declared the waitress, showing a handful of flour and two raisins onto the table. I ordered two scones, said Jean Paul. I don't usually read other people's poems, actually, but this is quite appropriate. Easter Monday, isn't it? This is something that was dedicated to me by a novelist when he was 16 years old, foray into poetry. It's called Velazquez's Christ, and it's based on the painting. I see a man nailed to a plank. Someone knifed him and stole his shirt.
Thanks very much. Okay, next is our the Long Valley's resident poet, Celine. I just wrote out 5 minutes for long poem. I have 2 million legends in life, and surprisingly enough, it's nothing to do with becoming a wife. Sadly, my first edition can no longer happen. I won't be standing on that stage while someone will sing. The pavement is rising and my face full of leaves because I've just been named the road to the lead. Now I'm too old, so I'll have to concentrate my second one, which may be a hard stint. But I'm hoping to become the next Irish president. If I was president, I'd change a few things. I'd glamorise the single life and multiple flings. I'd concentrate on the young and make things better, don't fret. I'd make it compulsory for every nightclub to have it glow set. And you can't get married till you're 25. That way there'd be more availability for older ones and the single life would be easier to survive. And when I'm finished all that, there's one important thing that I must do, and that would be to make Ireland the rightful 32. Okay, from one good woman to another, Miriam. What a chicken. The creatures held a prize she dumped to the forest, yet was of our own refugees, ran like some dire warning.
The time when we were 5 to 7, and she wore a long brown coat and boots. The man with a fox was running in front of her, and asking everyone to stop, we do accept. We didn't know that the dance for the hour had already taken care of the situation. We had spoken to him. He had smiled at the dancer when he heard the news. He then himself had hurried to the great river, where the dancers watched him swim and sing songs. The dancer could not understand how such actions could help the situation, but it wouldn't help the forest creature to know this, so he soared above them, calming all of his cries of, "Pan is heard, no need to fear, Pan is heard." The woman threw herself on the ground and continued to weep bitterly. The dancer felt that he had to do something. He reached the glade where the deer rested. They had wandered to many places, perhaps they could offer advice. Flowers were already there waiting. "I saw," she found the dancer. "I will go to have a look." Flower found her way to where the commotion was. She edged closer to the crying woman, and just as the woman raised her head to start sobbing afresh, Flower peeped her head around the undergrowth, just enough for the woman to see her. Then she moved away again. The woman sat up, her attention taken by the sight. "Well, Flower has done something," the dancer thought. "At least she stopped her crying." Suddenly the woman started to hum, and the dancer leaned closer to hear what it was. It sounded like five feet beside me. All at once, everything seemed to go silent. The dancer felt the urge to fly, but the woman was murmuring to herself. Before it became Saint Patrick's birthday, it was known as the deer sign. Rubbing her eyes, the woman got up and began to dance. The dancer nearly fell off the dance under pressure. "Why those movements? She might hurt herself," he had better be told. Quickly the arm made his way to the great river, but Pan was no longer there. Where the dancer looked around him, suddenly he heard Flower. "What happened? What happened to this?" The dancer returned to the spot and began to stare and speak. He supposed it was what humans called a comical sight. The woman dancing, blind everything, was that, and Pan a few trees away from her, playing on his pipe, every few minutes getting up to run around and flap his wings like a chicken. The dancer was suddenly nearing his heart and soul, but he hadn't seen the last of it.
Thanks very much for that. Eugene Harley.
This poem is untasted, and so I pray that it has been done quite short. As tides recede, wet shingles to beach, wet kisses and cold hands, low lying sun on the living tuber, Jeanette.
Thank you. Okay, next is the returning champion bard, Jim Barnes.
This song, I usually sing it with instrumentation, but tonight I'm today a cappella for it. It's called Diamond in the Soul. She makes the angels feel insecure, and she takes the vagabond and makes him feel pure. But she pays the price for such earthly lure. In this world my lady is a diamond in the sewer. She's had her struggles, the hydra's at her door. You won't find her beauty in all ancient lore, but life put her heart at the end of its cure. In this world my lady is a diamond in the sewer. She wears the stars around her neck, a pink band on her wrist, and she'll always tremble when she is kissed. My little blonde Vesuvius is top, strong, and pure. In this world, my lady is a diamond in the sewer. In this world, my lady is a diamond in the sewer.
Yes,
she's another section on the world.
Thank you.
Okay.
Page four.
Okay, next we have Niall Hart.
Symptoms undermining the world order are scattered through every nation. Frequent overwhelming episodes of simple appreciation. An ever-increasing tendency to savor every minute. A contented feeling of connectedness with plant and animal kingdom. A loss of interest in conflict and judging other people, a loss of desire to interpret the actions of other people, a proneness for spontaneity rather than acting on fears based on past experience and the influence of the years, a growing belief in the view that some things are going to happen rather than always striving to try and make things happen, increasing susceptibility to the love extended by others, frequent attacks of smiling, concern for world sisters and brothers. Be on the lookout for these symptoms of no greed, no fear, no hate. The hearts of many people have been infected with this state. Many more of us could start to come down with this new condition, thus posing a serious threat and arousing authorities' suspicion to the present stable situation drummed into us just after birth of mistrust and separation and conflict on this earth. And I'll just give you another one here. Remember Thomas Hale Bopp? Well, this is a villanelle I wrote at the time, or an attempt at a villanelle. Hale Bopp, you're driving him crazy. Since the night you came into sight, his focus is blurred, his horizon hazy. Once so active, he's now so lazy, but to catch a sight, he's up all night. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. Complaints galore from his wife Daisy. He sleeps all day and then gets tight. His focus is blurred, his horizon hazy. He was lent a book by Edgar Casey, or about Edgar Casey, whose prophecies and comets gave him a fright. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. His tales about your tail are somewhat racy. A companionship hidden by your light. His focus is blurred, his horizon hazy. Everyone says he's getting spacey, and he's way gone on a millennial strike. Hail Bop, you're driving him crazy. His focus is blurred, his horizon hazy.
Okay, thanks very much. So that's the end of the list, but the mic is certainly not closed if there's any last takers. Anybody want to do with any of you?
I can't see who you're pointing at.
Someone in the corner. Your audience is calling for you. Did you choose a tour? No, she's adjusting. All right. Yeah. Paul Casey?
Cheers, Joel.
That's our reflection call. Fucking ridiculous, huh? Is this time around? Should we pack? And we will be. I should know this office by now. I did at one stage. No most of it off, but I'm left with an old handwritten version of it. Because the last time I got robbed off me in Kinsale. Some of you have heard it. It's basically my response to the commercial film industry and the commercialization of art in the film industry from a poetic perspective. It's called Skinani the Poet. And Skinani in Gaelic means filmmaking or to film. It's a verb. It means to film. Skinani the Poet. One day traded his pencil for a lens and his paper for a reel, wrote these new poems, eye-ear poems, poetless poems. Skinani the Poet one day sent his very eyes into exile, into flux, to breathe, you see. Skinani the Poet now swam in a new sea of sapphire, iambic celluloid, anabestic f-stop, dactylic active, an alliteration of lighting and diversification of visions. Skinani the Poet was in a very different sea of sound effects, of irony, a sea of modern prosody, of new closed forms. Ask Petrarch and Skinani for a modern sunrise sonnet and you'll receive, when aiming camera, just make sure to think that all the mise en scene is balanced well, that all the actors have their lines to tell, that shades and hues and shadows are in sync. When if you need your players not to blink, to shield their eyes from sun's own jealous yell, make sure to look as if you're on the brink of breaking through to poetry unseen, of bringing through the actor's greatest day, of culminating new creation's dreams. For when the Thespian instinct will not play, suspect the charioteer is about to fold, the last word of each line is never told. Ask too of Skinani an ancient anamorphic quatrain, and he'll smile in plain and say another sonnet, two terrifics, two quatrains, Opus Historium, Cleo Hysterium. Ask labored Skinani, while facing a prop, a limerick to requite, and he'll recite, there was an old actor from yore, who thought that to film was a bore, till he moved all his grace from his hands to his face, and entered the stage evermore. Skinani the Poet was in a completely different sea of emotion and morality. Ask him for a Villanelle, and he'll answer with five tercets and a set dressing quatrain. I found a poet in me, and sighed when me he saw an artist finally free. The road to mastery, a toughened, cheerful paw, I found a poet in me. Unraveling mystery, with feathered forms, a claw, an artist finally free. I now could speak with tree, have arguments with flaw, I found a poet in me. To flee or not to flee, a danger to the law, an artist finally free. It's best I climb a tree, there with a crow's owl call, I found a poet in me, an artist finally free. Cinque, sexting, ronder rondo, runder, runder, rondo redouble, un priolet aussi, art for a haiku, swift sun surgeon, shining seas, 90-page screenplay. A movement and emotion. Skinani the Poet was worrying now in this very different sea of symbols and imagery, a sea of newly dreamed cities, of new open forms, of scripted cobblers and ad-lib odes, of captive cameos, a rhyming montage of troubadouric flashbacks, of scheduled epigrams and stilted ballads. Delirious Skinani the Poet was panicking now in this completely different simile sea. Kerserima Shatterspeeds, pantoon close-ups, Villa Valencian clapperboards, continuity ballads, that aligned with old light meters and spoke of pulling broader, onomatopoeic, stampeding crowds, euphonetic zoomings, homing of broken animal handlers, makeup, consonants, swindlers, and assonant stunt predictors, the rhythm and effects of accelerating producers sustaining PS Cabrera atmospheres. The phonetic rhetoric of the assistant director and the talky iteratio of the walking talkie, libograms and inner dialogue finality of discernment, the caesura of discretion. Scanning the poets, staring at the unrhyming entirety. I just slightly lost my place here. At the rhyming crew and cast, at the unrhyming entirety, simply shook his head. Rich rhyme, mirror rhyme, identity rhyme, virtual rhyme, indecasyllable, Gallic decasyllable, Alexandrine, iambic pentameter, all mercilessly sent to the slaughter of booms and gates and gels and mics and of avant-garde, famed, spangled, gung-ho hotheads, da-da-da, to the nursery rhyme advocates who lose. Iambically, take 10. A trochaic action. And epistically, it's a wrap. In the can. Dactylic filmistry. An antithebraic filtration of spondaic faux pas and pyrrhic edits. Skinani's the poet. His stress patterns and tightrope meters. His designer syllables all lost, drowned, realized. And I'm the poet by the conquering camera and the seventh art. Thank you.